You're listening to the Lawyer Lifestyle Podcast with Chicago attorney Dave Scriven Young. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 252 of the Lawyer Lifestyle Podcast for July 8th, 2020. My name is Dave Scriven Young, an attorney from Chicago, Illinois, and I'll be your host. This podcast takes you on a daily journey to discover key principles in the areas of marketing, sales, and leadership for attorneys. What follows is audio from last night's Lawyers Emotional Intelligence Book Club. My guest was Laura O'Sullivan, and we talked about how nature is the antidote to stress. I go live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Central for the book club, and to learn more, you can go to facebook.com/lawyersEQ. I hope you enjoy the discussion. Welcome to the Lawyers Emotional Intelligence Book Club. My name is Dave Scriven Young, a lawyer focusing on litigation, environmental law, and construction law from Chicago, Illinois. We're helping to create the next generation of lawyers with high emotional intelligence through a weekly book club and daily practical posts at facebook.com/lawyersEQ. During our book club discussions, we will do a deep dive into books that will help us to develop emotional intelligence skills and specifically think about how we can begin to use these skills in our law practices. I'll be live every Wednesday night, although sometimes Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Central for this discussion. And it is a discussion, so please liberally use the box below wherever you're watching to ask questions or to make comments. I don't sit here as an expert. On the contrary, I'll be learning along with all of you, and I'm really interested in hearing your opinions and observations. So welcome, everyone, to the Lawyers Emotional Intelligence Book Club. So happy that everyone is watching. Thanks for being here today. And let's dive right into our content for today. So just a little bit about me. I graduated in 2003 from DePaul here in Chicago. I'm senior counsel at Picarin Abramson. I'm a civil litigator. I also do construction law in addition to environmental law. My mission is that I get up in the morning to identify and share historically correct knowledge and resources, and hopefully an inspiring and entertaining format in order to help others meet and exceed goals and standards in every area of their lives. And I do that through a number of different things, including this Lawyers Emotional Intelligence Book Club. I also have a podcast called Lawyer Lifestyle Podcast, which deals with marketing, sales, and leadership concepts. And I'm so glad that you're here today. So let's talk about what we've done so far. We've done a lot with the book, The Stress Solution by Dr. Rangan Chatterjee. He basically goes through four different areas of our lives that can either stress us out or can help us and de-stress, right? Purpose, relationships, body, and mind. So in the purpose category, we've talked about affirmations, reframing, so taking a situation and looking at it from a different way. We talked about developing a gratitude practice, scheduling our time to do things we love, and morning routines. We also talked about how to live more. So do things you love, do things with intention, have a vision for your life, and to do engagement. So doing things for others. We talked about relationships and how the sense of touch can help de-stress us and how nurturing relationships can help us as well. We talked about on the body piece. We talked about how to eat yourself happy, what you take in can help you or hurt you. We talked about resetting your rhythm. We had a great discussion about sleep and how it's really important to get sleep and how if you want to de-stress yourself and you want to give yourself something good, you should really go to bed and enjoy a good sleep. And then last week we talked, we delved into the mind category, and we talked about technology overload and how to avoid the stress associated with technology overload. So that brings us to a continued discussion of the mind. And in Dr. Chatterjee's book, the next section is to bathe yourself in nature and how nature is an antidote to the stress that we have in our lives. And my special guest today is Laurel O'Sullivan. And let me just introduce Laurel and we'll bring her in. Laurel is a former environmental lawyer, life coach, and visionary advocate who inspires women around the world to create second chances in their lives. She does this by helping her clients align their unique source of power with their life purpose to make decisions that create greater impact in the world. Laurel's practice is grounded in 20 years of experience As a public interest lawyer and advocate, her intuitive approach to astrology and her deeply held experiences navigating every imaginable type of life transitions. She lives in Evanston, Illinois with her husband, Tim, and their blended family of five kids plus their dog, Blue. In her free time, Laura loves to combine her love of travel and hiking. She has hiked to the bottom of the Grand Canyon and back on the same day, multiple segments of the Appalachian Trail, the Annapurna Circuit in Nepal, Machu Picchu, as well as various trails in Europe. Her next challenge in 2021 is hiking the Camino de Santiago. And so let's welcome Laurel into the discussion. Hi, Laurel.
Hi, Dave. Good to be here.
Excellent. Well, welcome in. And, you know, one of the things that I did not say in the bio, which is absolutely true, which is that you were my first legal supervisor. I guess you would call an externship fellowship with the Public Law Initiative. And I got a great chance to work with Laurel at an organization that was then called the Lake Michigan Federation, now called the Alliance for the Great Lakes. And, you know, Laurel may not know this, but I learned so much from her just in terms of professional skills, because even though I did do, you know, a summer associate program and had a couple of legal related jobs, this was really the first time that I did a lot of professional things like, you know, being on a conference call. I never did that before. And so a lot of different things that I really learned from Laurel, and I really appreciate all the things that I learned from you during that summer and really over the next couple of years when we did some pro bono works together. So I really appreciate you and really appreciate everything that that we learned together.
Yeah. Thanks. That's so nice to hear. Appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. So what I thought we would start with, since we're talking about nature and because you're such a nature enthusiast, is to go through, do a little bit of show and tell. And you have four photos for us to take a look at to show us a little bit about your travels. And why don't we just dive right into it? Take us through this first picture.
Sure. So this is my most recent trip that I just came back from. It was a bit of I'm a planner, so it was a bit of a spontaneous adventure given the era we're living in right now. My husband and I decided to rent an RV, and we hit the road and headed west with our two teenage sons, and this was taken at Bryce. And I was particularly excited about this trip. I like to, when I can, go someplace that has a personal or meaningful connection. And for me, Southern Utah and the national parks, which is where we were, had a lot of significance in Moab, which I don't have. Well, actually, I do have a photo. So maybe I'll save the rest of the story till the next picture. But that's where we spent 2 weeks at the beginning of June.
Excellent. All right. Here's the next one.
Okay, so that was taken at Arches National Park, which I'd always wanted to go to. It was a very hot day. It was about 95 degrees, and we couldn't get the kids out of the car to hike. But Tim and I went on this great hike, and this was kind of towards the end of the hike where you could see, like, these amazing natural arches. I highly recommend it. I would say it's got to be one of my top favorite national parks because it's so unique. But what made this particularly meaningful for me was that I decided to go to law school because of an experience I had as an undergrad studying environmental studies as it related to Native Americans. And Edward Abbey had written a lot about the area of Moab and about the sort of the trade-offs and the consequences of when, you know, the issue back in the 80s, or actually he wrote this in the 60s, would have been water resources. And so that area, they had to dam it, and there was a sacred site that Native Americans called Rainbow Bridge, which was in the vicinity of Arches. We didn't have enough time to get there. So this area always had this really significant meaning because it was a very compelling reason for me to end up going to law school, because I really did do environmental justice work for the beginning portion of my career.
Excellent. Let's go on to the next one.
So this was 2017, June of 2017. And this by far was my favorite, you know, hands down my favorite hiking trip ever, that we went to Machu Picchu. And if anybody's out there with a budget to travel, this was a bit of a splurge. I highly, highly recommend Mountain Lodges of Peru. So we spent 7 days hiking to Machu Picchu, sort of the end destination. But it's a lovely experience because I'd like to say we were roughing it, but we stayed in these lodges along the way. So you did, it was also for me personally satisfying because you had to be pretty fit to do it. And I had just started CrossFit about a year before that. So that was kind of like my first test, or 6 months before it, my first test of, you know, whether in fact that was actually building my endurance. And I'm happy to say that it did. And it was just, it's amazing. Peru is amazing. The people are amazing, but highly, highly recommend if people can do it to get away and to take a hike there. And they're really restricting a lot more the number of permits and so forth that they issue, but still very doable.
Wow. Looks amazing. All right. And here's the last one.
Yeah. And that's from the same trip. And that was, we were doing sort of like a spiritual ceremony. You can't see them, but there was that, we wear those hats actually have significance. And there was a sort of like a guide or a shaman actually there who kind of led our group. We were traveling with a group in this. And so it was at this very beautiful, it was like looking into that lake was like kind of a mirror. It was just, and you can't quite tell, but it was the most brilliant sort of green blue, very unforgettable. So that's just kind of a fun photo.
Wow. Okay. Well, here's sort of a broad question, but I'm curious because we're going to be delving into, you know, how nature can de-stress us and how it can help us get in touch, you know, not only with, you know, ourselves and get away from sort of the noise of the world, but sort of get in touch with our own, I don't know, maybe purpose or meaning. And so I'm just curious in terms of, you know, your feelings walking into some of these places, because I've never been. I mean, I've been to my local parks and that sort of thing, and I haven't done a lot of nature traveling. So I just wonder, you know, how does it make you feel to see, you know, some of these great places?
I think the number one reason that I am driven to travel to these places is it gives you perspective and humility. I mean, there's no way that you cannot be surrounded by this breathtaking, you know, mountains or like the arches, literally trying to figure out how many billions of years did it take for these to form. And you're instantly reminded that, you know, we are this, you know, this significant in the overall scheme of things. So it kind of like makes that in and of itself sort of makes you realize the significance of you and your problems in perspective to, you know, what's come before you.
Absolutely. I mean, just looking at those mountains, and I can only imagine, you know, how different from a perspective, you know, point of view, that you must feel, you must return from those trips a changed person.
That one, I would say very much so. That was actually at a point in time where I was trying to make some decisions myself around pivoting in my own career. And there's just, like I said, something that was a special trip because we were in even another culture, and the people, the Peruvians are just these very loving, wonderful people. So it was kind of like a double dose of appreciation and gratitude for not just the natural beauty, but getting to experience another culture and such a, such a lovely one.
Excellent. So why don't we continue on with our with the material? But I just want to say hello to some people that are watching. Hello to Karen, who's watching. Hello to Brian as well. Kathy is watching as well. And I know Henry is watching somewhere too. So welcome to everyone who's watching the show. And if you have comments or questions for Laurel, please just enter them in the comment section of whatever app you're watching, because everything is fed into the system I'm using, and you know, we'll just continue on with this discussion. So let's just talk a little bit about, you know, go through the book a little bit, just to remind us what we're doing. Dr. Chandri says that getting outside is the antidote to technology overload. We talked to Ian Hu last week about, you know, avoiding the stress relating to technology. And this was kind of interesting. He says that nature is expansive and actually forces you to look outwards away from yourself. So, you know, I wonder in these places, Laurel, can you talk about like cell phone coverage and that sort of thing and sort of the difference between, you know, maybe our urban or even suburban lives? We're both in suburban Chicago, and talk about the differences between going to, you know, Machu Picchu or some of these other places and rather than, you know, where we live.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think. I think they actually, my chagrin, I think, I don't know if they, now you've got me thinking, did they have Wi-Fi or not? But my habit is really to unplug and to not want to be on my phone and to not want to, even before like there were, you know, these smartphones, I would just like, I don't even like to read the newspaper, you know, like I just like to totally remove myself because all of that's going to be there when we come back. So I think that when we are constantly still plugged in, even when we're in nature, you're sort of like minimizing that expansiveness that you were speaking of.
Got it. And talk to us about, you know, how you feel in some of these places, because Dr. Chatterjee talks about, you know, that we're, nature helps us to be in a restful kind of mood, and that helps to go into the thrive state. You also talked about hiking quite a bit and your kids being, you know, tired and hot. I imagine that I would kind of be in that same situation. To talk about, you know, hiking and just seeing these, you know, majestic landscapes and how it makes you feel, and if you do in fact feel restful.
Oh, well, and I think so. There's something different about sort of like waking up to a sunrise and that sort of feeling of restfulness and peacefulness versus going to a park when it's 95 degrees and hiking 2 miles, even though it is 95 degrees. That's not necessarily restful, but, you know, something similar. So I'm driven by different, you know, reasons. And I think it, you know, depends on kind of the season of life we're in or, so for my birthday this year, we went to Sedona, and even though I like to hike, I do not consider myself to be a mountain climber. There's a very big difference. I'm not a real big fan of heights, believe it or not. And so that day I decided, it had been a very kind of challenging year leading up to that, and I decided that we were going to hike this mountain, which was kind of a very vertical mountain, and we did, but that was exhausting, but it ultimately is expansive because you've showing yourself you can do something. So I think it kind of depends on, you can definitely have those feelings of peacefulness if that's what you're seeking, which sometimes that's what I'm seeking. But then a lot of times I will say the hiking for me is like a physical, there's like a physical challenge that I'm trying to, you know, or something I'm trying to kind of prove to myself, I guess.
Yeah. And I can, even in my own life, you know, again, I haven't done a lot of nature traveling, but in terms of, you know, when you go to, you know, some parks near me, or even some of the, you know, forest preserves and that sort of thing, you could definitely, you know, you can take in the vista and be restful. And then you can also make it a physical activity, you know, do hiking and a lot of walking or maybe even running. So perhaps he's talking more about the formal, but you know, as we've talked about, sort of my, you know, the watchers to this particular telecast knows, you know, exercise can do a lot for your stress as well. So I guess you're doing a double duty by not only taking in nature but also doing some exercise.
Yeah, and I think too what he's saying there with the expansive and looking outward is like we're getting out of our own problems and our own mind, and we're like, by connecting, whether it's, you know, doing something vigorous or just taking in the scenery, as you said, it kind of takes us outside of our own problems and worries.
Yeah. So he also talks about sort of our evolutionary process and that, you know, we evolved in nature over millions of years. And that's why we have a connection to nature, connection to the open air. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, Dr. Chatterjee comes from a very specific place where, you know, he's talking about evolution. You know, I come from a similar perspective, but I also come, you know, from a religious perspective in that, you know, God, for me, God created all of us, God created nature as well. And so, you know, perhaps there are many ways why we have this deep connection to nature, not only because of the way we've evolved, but maybe, you know, for other reasons, religious, but also maybe other spiritual reasons as well. And I know, you know, you've talked a lot about those other sort of spiritual reasons that we might be connected.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's sort of the number one reason, because I think we are in a society, obviously being a lawyer in a profession that is all about go, go, achieve, achieve, you know, prove, prove. And when you're in nature, it's like the opposite is happening. You know, we're sort of being, you know, whether our mind might fight it, but like that, like we were just discussing, the tendency of our body and like our energy is just to kind of let go and to kind of surrender, because I do think we have that sense of connection, you know, to God, the universe, that there's something bigger out there that, you know, kind of has our back. And that's, that in and of itself is a, like a lovely energy that allows you to kind of de-stress.
Absolutely. All right. So let's move on. Different studies have talked about the benefits of spending time in nature. And these are, you know, again, it's so funny going through some of these and pretty much this whole book in terms of getting away from stress and certain strategies that can help us. But if we think about our jobs as lawyers, wouldn't it be really helpful to have improved mental focus? Wouldn't it be really helpful to have our anxiety reduced and reduce stress levels and have improved job satisfaction? You know, if we talk about all of the, you know, ills, quote unquote, that the legal profession faces, all of these, you know, going on into nature is going to help us, you know, with all of these things. So Dr. Chatterjee talks in the book about, you know, when he has a project that he's trying to do or he's stumped on, he'll go out in his garden and get in touch with nature in that way. And that might help him to, you know, relieve writer's block or to help him work out a problem. And even, you know, even I have seen, you know, getting out, you know, as I'm sort of working on an issue or maybe a brief or something, and I just get to a point where I'm just very frustrated. You know, if I go outside, you know, walk my dog, go out into my backyard, now that we're, you know, quarantining, getting in touch with nature in that way has really helped me as well. And I'm sure, Laurel, it's been, you know, similar for you.
Yeah, and in fact, there's similar to the bathing that he talks about. There's another term, grounding, which is like literally connecting like your bare feet to the earth. Like when we're, if we're kind of feeling like in our heads or not fully grounded or in our bodies, then a great technique to do is to go out and like literally, you know, you can lay in your grass or you can connect your feet to the, put them in dirt or something like that. And that can like instantly kind of bring us back into our bodies. And so that's a technique that was introduced to me a few years ago. And it really kind of connects us with, we have these energy centers in our body and our root chakra is kind of the base one. And that's the one that kind of grounds us. So grounding ourselves in nature can help bring us into our bodies, literally.
That's really fascinating. Yeah, he talks about, you know, taking off your shoes and feeling your feet on the grass. And yeah, I mean, that always feels tremendous. Just a sense of peace and just getting away from it all, I think.
Well, yeah. And I mean, if we think about it, like when we were kids, I'm a big fan of going barefoot. We don't quite live in the right climate for that. But like when I was a kid, I loved nothing more than to run around, you know, especially on the grass and like your bare feet. And, you know, we just don't do that anymore. So I think it's a great thing for all of us to do, even if it's just nature in our own backyard or your local park, like you said.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Dr. Chatterjee says that this is all sort of very intuitive because, you know, as you said, Laurel, you know, when we were kids or just we know when we go out and we get out into the grass or we're on the beach playing, you know, with our family or just going into the water, enjoying the sand, we can feel sort of the peace and well-being that we get from being there. I know, we don't get to the beach that often. We have a quarry that was a beach here in Naperville, but we've been to the Chicago beaches every now and then, and we've really enjoyed spending time out there. Not only because it's hot and we want to cool off, but also because we want to enjoy time with each other and just get the feelings of peace and happiness that we get out there.
Absolutely.
We have a commenter who says, my youngest son loves to be barefoot. As soon as he gets home from anywhere, he takes off his socks. Fascinating.
He knows. Connected.
Yeah, no, and it's, I think it's so true, Laurel. You talked about, things that we did as a kid. And sometimes we forget that. Several episodes ago, I talked about, purpose and what did we used to love when we were kids and why did we lose that? And should we make more time in our daily schedule for things that we actually enjoyed when we were kids? And it just helps us to, when we're doing things we love, we're not stressed out is kind of the analogy there. I think everyone can agree with that for the most part. And to kind of go back to our childhood a little bit, we can really benefit from.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because my mom actually told me, I don't think I knew this, but she told me a few years ago that when I was like 18 months old, we were in the Black Hills as a family in South Dakota, and I like ended up hiking like this whole 3-mile trail, and they were like super surprised by it. And so that, I don't know, that's kind of neat to realize. And I think for me, while I love Chicago and many things about it, you kind of have to, if you want to go and hike, you have to make it an intention. And so like, that's something in the last 10 years, even that I realized like, all right, this is what I'm going to focus my travel around because there's just not that many opportunities on a day-to-day basis to, go and hit a trail. And that's not taking anything away from the Midwest, but there's just, there's so much of the world to be seen. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have to say I think Chicago has done a great job maybe in the past 10, 15 years of increasing the number of places that people can go. The different parks that have been developed, Millennium Park, whether it's the Maggie Daly Park, and then as well as, the suburbs, there's a lot of things to do as well. But as you said, so our climate is so weird. We have extremes on both sides in terms of summer and winter. And it seems, for me that there's only a certain amount of time that you can really get out. So, adding some time in or planning trips can really assist with that.
Yeah. Yep. It does take that intention. Yeah. I mean, Chicago's great like half the year, but then, you have the other that's super unpredictable. So.
Exactly. We have another commenter who says it's definitely had a better and different relationship with nature as a child. The sense of wonder and exploration has lessened as an adult.
Mm. Oh, I would want to know why. That makes me sad. Because wonder is a great word for it. I think that's one of the reasons that I love it, because it does bring me back to that that state of curiosity and just like I can't. And I've noticed it with my kids who there's just something about like if you're on a trail in the forest of like, where is this leading to? Where is it going to go? And they're even though they're like all teenagers, they all kind of like clamor to see who can be the first one, and so yeah, well, I hope you can reconnect with that wonder, whoever that is.
Yeah. Well, Laura, let me ask you, because, I have kids and you have, a larger family. And I'm curious in terms of getting kids involved in spending time with nature. So it sounds like you take your kids on a lot of these trips. And I'm just curious as to, is there any, cajoling and getting kids to go to a national park as opposed to going to like Disney World, for example. I'm sure there is, but how do you make that connection with your kids?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I could have shared photos from, I think it was one of our first trips as a family together, and we decided we bit off more than we can chew. I would say one, start small, start incrementally, start when they're young, and make it all about the adventure. And I would say that, so my two boys have always kind of, and as they get older, of course, everything's about cajoling. Everything is arm twisting, and which was why the RV trip was great, because I think even they were like, we need to get out of the house, and so and all I would say that our three younger, the three teens, we have one another son who's in his 20s and out the door, but they've always kind of liked being outside because I think it gives them permission, to just kind of like let loose. But my husband Tim's kids, when we got together, they didn't do as much nature trips, so it was kind of like, what do you want us to do? And so I would say there was a bit of a rocky start, and but I would say after kind of, we call it sort of like forced family fun, after maybe like doing a couple trips, they started to kind of get into the swing of things. Because what I find is, especially with teenagers or any kids who, let's face it, are on devices, as soon as you go to like a hotel room or whatever, it's just like, everybody's kind of gets tuned out. So.
Interesting. And it's interesting that you talk about, your kids kind of, letting loose, when they're out in nature. 'Cause I think, I mean, even I get that on occasion, going out and just seeing great things. And yeah, you kind of do, it's not like that you're reverting to a child, but you're kind of getting in touch with sort of those type of instincts. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, I mean, you're just out of your head more, right? You're just like in your body, in your energy, you're present. You're not like thinking like, oh, should I do this? Should I not? You're just kind of going with it. It's very like instinctive, and I think nature also, it connects us with that sort of that right brain part of us, that that creative, intuitive, just sort of instinctual part that's not thinking, which is why, again, it's a great stress reliever.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's get into the concept of forest bathing. And it's a Japanese concept that says that we're comforted by spending time among the trees. And I'm blanking on where what it's called, but there's a great park near me that is essentially, all trees. And it's great. You can drive through it. There's a great, little like rest area where you can eat lunch and that sort of thing. But it is one of the favorite my favorite things that we have around here in terms of nature. And that is because, as Dr. Chatterjee says, trees emit essential oils, which I did not know, but which are their natural protection from germs and insects. And forest bathers, so people who spend a lot of time in forests, reduce blood pressure, lower stress levels, lower levels of hormones such as adrenaline and cortisol, lower blood sugar levels, and improved symptoms of depression, improved sleep quality, memory concentration, and enhanced immune system function. So a lot of great things going on there, Laurel. Oh, and my wife is commenting, it's the Morton Arboretum, of course.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah, it's just a fantastic place. Talk about peaceful, because I mean, sure, you can, see some of the roads, and yeah, there are cars that come through, but there are a lot of areas that you can just walk and just get yourself lost.
I'm jealous that you're that close to it, because I love that place. And in fact, we had a membership for a few years when the kids were a little bit younger, and we would take our bikes too and go there. It's an amazing place. Yeah.
And it's interesting, in terms of just the health benefits of being around trees. And it's funny to me because what a tree hugger is a pejorative term often for environmentalists. But actually, if you think about it, trees actually help us in so many different ways. I guess there's nothing wrong with hugging a tree now and then.
Not at all. We need more of them.
Absolutely. Now, in your travels, have you done much in terms of seeing national forests or the like?
Yeah, I was just thinking as I was listening to you and talking about this, I was thinking one of my absolute favorite places is, the Redwood Forest in Northern California, and just, those magnificent huge redwoods and going to Muir Woods. And I actually took my husband on a hike there last couple, 2 or 3 years. And it was one of these ones where you sort of start out and you think you're only, it'll be like, 3 miles or something. Well, it was like, ended up being like 8 miles in the whole day. And he was a little bit grumpy by the end, but I think that's gotta be one of my favorite national forests for sure. And Colorado's got some beautiful areas as well. But we're so lucky to live in the country we do, because there's just no shortages of different scenery and different options to take in. And then, the desert's pretty cool too. We sort of went to, found ourselves in Joshua, National Park, 3 years ago. And I had a work trip, believe it or not, to Palm Springs, I guess. And so we were like, it's not a place you necessarily are going to just kind of pop into. And I kind of love the desert too. It's very sort of like isolated and, but it had its own special magic. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it just sounds like you've taken, I'm so jealous, you've taken some, really awesome trips, but it does take intentionality, and you really have to decide that, this is what you're going to do instead of, I tend to go to just the same places on vacation. It's almost as if, like you said, like a work trip will take me somewhere. And there are a few cities that I really enjoyed, on these work trips, and places that I just want to go back to. Right. Yeah. But it really does take intentionality to plan to go to a place that you've never been before. And for a person like me, who's not a naturalist, right. It takes a little bit of a risk. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that, because, for me, it's like, I don't know what is the, you're out there and you maybe don't know where you're going, and yeah, you have a map, but if you're directionally challenged like me, perhaps you're not too great at directions. And then you're dealing potentially with, I don't know, wild animals and that sort of thing. So talk a little bit about, how some of those risks and how you mitigate some of those risks on these trips.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm laughing because one of the reasons I think that I've become very intentional about travel, especially in the last 7, 8 years. So my husband and I are pretty different. He's, kind of IT strategy guy, very sort of technical, analytical. But the one thing that like we have in common is this love for sort of, and I would say it kind of shows up differently, but adventure. And through travel. But I am by far the more kind of like leap before you look, and he's more of kind of the cautious, like, have we, and he's directionally challenged. So he's always got there's a great app called Runkeeper. So no matter what hike we go on, which I appreciate this because I can be a little overly confident sometimes, he's keeping track of our trail. So in case if we get off the trail, we can always make our way back. So technology can actually help with things like that.
Yeah, that's smart.
And I actually think technology can help with a lot of the things. I would say we're, it's not like we're extreme adventurers. I'm trying to think. I actually had a run-in, or not me, but when I was hiking with my mom and my aunt, like, long time ago in the Appalachian Trail, we did have a run-in with the bear, but the bear just kind of wandered off. So, I think it depends on what you're looking for. You don't have to quite go that that gung-ho, but one of the questions, of course, because you mentioned in the bio that one of the tools I use in my coaching practice is astrology. So I just have to ask you, maybe I knew at one point, when's your birthday?
November 17th.
Oh, so you're a Scorpio. Yeah, we're both Scorpio.
I am.
Okay. Well, there's probably more. So I'm dying to see your chart, because I bet I could find sort of the reasons behind your, there's probably a particular area, but, I'm confident we could get you past it, because Scorpios are all about transformation. So, you can transform this area of your life, I'm sure. I think each of us is different, like we have to kind of find that trip that speaks to us, that is the right level of, you know, that maybe is like a good introduction where, you know, you feel a little bit more like going to Muir Woods outside San Francisco. Perfect. You know, that's just like a, there's a trail and I don't know if you've been there, but like that would be a great, you know, kind of easy introduction. So,
I haven't been to Muir Woods, but, there was a great, Japanese garden area around. So like I had to go to San Francisco a few years for the ABA annual meeting. And there's a great Japanese garden outside of the city that was just fantastic. And I would recommend that to anybody.
Yeah. So you found your nature. I mean, that's what it's about. We don't all have to go out on these like, you know, big trails or whatever, because nature is really all around us if we look for it.
Absolutely. So what is a good starter park or starter, you know, trail if you were going to recommend to somebody to, you know, to begin a nature journey, what would be the place that you would recommend starting?
There's so many. I mean, I think like if you have a family and you're looking for a place, Estes Park, Colorado is a great one. The Rocky Mountain National Park. There, of course, this summer, everything is different. Who knows what it'll be like next summer. Because I know right there, you have to make like a time reservation to go in there this summer. But that's an easy one because everything's very well marked. You know, there's plenty of lodging depending upon, you know, if you want to camp or stay in a cabin. Actually, if you're a YMCA member, that's where they actually have their park. It's a camp. Families can go there and rent it. I personally was very taken with, I've been there several times and then I hadn't been there for 20 years to Sedona. And there's all kinds of, you know, if you want something adventurous, you can certainly do that. But there's a lot of, I mean, it's just the Red Rock is just unlike anything you've ever seen. And that's pretty easy to get to from Phoenix. So, and there's lots of, you know, easy short trails there. And, you know, even like if you go to San Diego, there's that great park right there that overlooks the water. What is it? No, this is going to bother me. There's a golf course attached to it. I've hiked it many times. Maybe it'll come to me. So it's like even when you go to urban areas, you can find these places. And a few of my favorite, or, you know, if you really want to get away, you go do something kind of different. If you like water and you can go up to the Boundary Waters in northern Minnesota and, you know, really get away from everything. I had forgotten about that. That was one of the first trips I probably took right out of law school.
Wow. Great. Yeah. Great suggestions.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So what's the next point that he has? He talks about that our brains crave natural environments. And we've talked about this, so I don't think we need to delve on it too much, but nature helps us to put distance between the noise of our daily lives and we look beyond ourselves. This one point I found to be particularly interesting is that the sounds of nature can be relaxing. So what I found actually great comfort in this book is that sounds or visuals of nature actually can help you with your stress, make you less anxious, even if you're sitting in a place like a waiting room, a doctor's waiting room. You don't have to be in a forest, but you can be listening to, you know, sounds of, I don't know, birds chirping or waves. And that actually, in one study, produced a greater calming effect and reduced pulse rate and perception of stress and increased their thrive state, which I found extremely interesting. I guess that there's a reason, another reason to watch National Geographic, right?
Absolutely.
Cool. And again, you know, just looking at nature can help you to recover from a stressful experience. You know, Laura, one of the things that Dr. Chatterjee talks about in the book is the difference between micro stress doses and macro stress doses. Like macro stress dose is typically one big stressful event that happens to you, that happens to all of us. And that as opposed to, you know, those little irritating things, you know, that come up that can stress you out. But even looking at nature can help you recover from either the micro stress doses or begin to help you recover, you know, from those macro stress doses. Obviously, you know, I always have a disclaimer that says, you know, I'm not a doctor, I'm a lawyer. So if you've had one of these, you know, macro stress doses and you really, you know, need to, you know, find therapy or go to a doctor or somebody if you're really, you know, having a depressed state. But just looking at nature can help you to relieve some of your stress. He talks about a study where people who are exposed to a nature scene have a higher heart rate variability and activated that thrive state compared to a group who looked at an urban image, which, you know, I can completely understand where that comes from.
Absolutely.
And nature helps us to break through creative blocks. So increasing our ability to solve problems creatively by 50%, which I found fascinating. You know, as a lawyer, we're always looking for, even though we rely on precedent quite a bit, we're always looking for creative ways to do things, creative ways to explain a factual situation in a brief or put a creative spin on a cause of action that we might have. And so I think even though lawyers get a bad rap in terms of, you know, being, you know, stuffy and that sort of thing, I actually think lawyers can be quite creative and should be quite creative, and nature can help us to be more creative.
Absolutely. I think I was saying that earlier, but I often have some of my best ideas when I'm just like out hiking, or even recently this summer, I've been doing a lot of swimming. There's just something about, you know, being submerged in water. And in fact, this is, you know, it's sort of simulating nature, but I don't know if they have these float centers now that are kind of popular. And I know from talking to we have one here in Evanston that I went to a few times, and he was saying a lot of the people who come in are writers, or, you know, people who are trying to, you know, come work through like a problem, a big problem at work, because just that simple state of like floating in water and, you know, being kind of like in that space it's got that same calming effect as sort of, you know, being in nature in terms of stimulating that part of our brain.
Yeah. And if you think about, you know, I mean, this is going to sound very stereotypical, but like artist colonies are in nature. Some of the greatest, you know, writers that wrote have, you know, been inspired by nature, and it helps them to be more creative. So, you know, we can even just look back in our historical experience and see, you know, so the people that have been very creative were either inspired by nature or lived in nature as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think it's any mystery for sure.
So at the end of the day, I think what we're talking about is, you know, what would taking a daily walk in nature or having a nature picture on your cell phone do for you? So many different things that we talked about. Now, this next part I found fascinating because I hadn't really thought about it. And I had to look up what a fractal was. Mm-hmm. And then I found some of these pictures. And when you look at the picture and you sort of think about it, it makes sense. So apparently, just looking at it, that there's patterns in these fractals, and that we're hardwired to respond positively to them, and we can recover 60% more quickly than otherwise after we're exposed to images containing them. Apparently, when you look at fractals for even a short amount of time, we get a spike in alpha wave activity in our brain that's present when we're in a thrive state. So if you think about, you know, just the sunshine shining through the treetops there, and just imagine yourself there, you can imagine that you're already in a more peaceful state, that you're in a less stressful state than you would be otherwise. And I think that, you know, goes to, you know, we talked a lot about the Morton Arboretum and just just the serenity of being in a place like that and seeing the sun, you know, come through the trees. It is definitely, and you know what I love about this book is something like that, where it's just kind of, you know it when it happens. And this book kind of presents you with a lot of the science and the reasons why. And it really makes you think, well, maybe I should, you know, go back to Morton Arboretum or wherever, do some of these nature trips more often, because there really is some science behind it. All right. So let's talk about some of the ways that we can bathe ourselves in nature. So to bring nature, either bring nature into our environments or to get out into nature more. So here are some ideas, and Laurel, you know, let's discuss some of these. So the first thing he talks about, which I didn't see coming when I went through this chapter, was decluttering our environments. So our physical environments, in terms of, you know, what's in our houses, you know, perhaps decluttering some of our mental environment as well. You know, one thing that Dr. Chatterjee talked about in his introduction to the book, he talks about how, you know, there's a, you know, he has like this junk drawer that is just has, you know, everything from game pieces to plugs to all sorts of stuff. And how, you know, if you just took the time to declutter just that one drawer, you would find a lot of just mental benefit to it. So Laura, I don't know if you have any experience in doing, you know, a big decluttering project, but I'd be fascinated to find out about your experience.
I'm a big fan of declutter. I don't do well with a lot of clutter. And in fact, it's kind of funny. One of the things I do, I've realized, is like a morning ritual. As soon as I come downstairs, like I'm automatically like spotting kind of like things in the kitchen that are out of place. And I just kind of go about and like put them in their place. And I used to kind of be like, okay, you know what? Just like get your coffee and relax and don't worry about it. But I realized that it is very soothing, or de-stresses me to have things in their place. And I've read I think it's Marie Kondo's book or something about that. And I actually think there's something to it. However, I think we all have our limits. So like I have a junk drawer that I allow myself to, like, you know, just kind of shove stuff in there. And, you know, I think we need to have a little dose. But I have found definitely in my life that, you know, the amount of clutter we have in our life is directly proportional to the amount of stress that we have in our life. And when I was moving the first time, selling my house, like after getting divorced, it was like astonishing when I realized we had these crawl spaces where stuff had just kind of like gotten shoved. And it was like, oh my gosh, there was years of stuff where I just, like, you know, didn't deal with like all the kids' stuff that they were outgrowing. And so I think that it's actually very satisfying and kind of does bring down your stress level if you can, you know, make that a habit to have that simplicity in surrounding you.
Have you seen Marie Kondo's Netflix show?
I have not. I have heard about it. I'm not sure if I watch TV sparingly, so I'm kind of like, I don't know if I want to watch somebody clean up, but I've heard it's good, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. What I found is that when I checked out her book from the library, it didn't connect with me. But then when I saw her Netflix show and saw people go through the process, it was actually very interesting, but also very satisfying to see, you know, these places that were a complete wreck being and the people that had their own issues, but, you know, they were working through not only their clutter issues, but also working through their relationship issues and that sort of thing. So you should really check out, you know, an episode, because I found it, again, you know, just very satisfying for sure.
Okay. Maybe that'll be a good motivation to tackle my next project. So
there you go. All right. So some other things, some other ways to get our daily dose of nature, perhaps bring nature into your home or office. So you can, you know, maybe bring a favorite plant into your office or some flowers, taking a detour on your commute through nature. And, you know, again, I find myself, when I was going into the office, I basically, you know, went the same way, drove the same way to the train station. But there are so many different ways that you can go and driving, you know, through an area that has a park as opposed to just taking, you know, the big, you know, Route 59, which is what I go through. I could definitely see how that would be a benefit. I bet there's a lot of places in Evanston that you can, you know, drive through in terms of park space.
Yeah, it's so funny because, again, like thinking about different stages of my life and my level of stress, I used to drive everywhere, which is a little embarrassing to say that given that I live in Evanston and can walk to the downtown. And as the level of stress in my life has kind of gone down, yes, now I give myself, like, I see the value in that of, like, you know what, let's just take a detour. And I walk near the lake quite frequently. So I would say that's kind of like the primary place that I go. But and we get to be like in such this like mindset of, you know, time scarcity and I got to get from A to B. And I've seen that suggestion before as well, like just go a different route. So, I do try to do that.
Interesting. And then some of the other things that he talks about is making your phone or your computer a screensaver, a picture of nature, which I found interesting. You can put up in your office pictures or your home, anywhere really, pictures of natural terrain. And then lighting nature-scented candles, which I found fascinating, which if you think about it, I mean, you know, different scents can, you know, all of the senses can be, you know, helped, you know, with nature as well.
Absolutely.
And then some other ways, and, you know, this is one thing that he talks about is, you know, how like a pet can be part of that, which, you know, of course, pets are part of the natural world, but I, you know, for some reason that escaped me. My dog is actually sitting next to me over here. We got him a few years ago, and it's just been probably the best thing that we've done in a long time. He also talks about, you know, getting a fish tank or creating water running into your garden or backyard. Laura, I know you have a dog. Talk a little bit about, you know, how a pet can be a great thing and de-stressing.
Oh my gosh. I could go on and on and on. He's not in here because he likes to go in and out. So he's sitting right outside the door. But in fact, we got our dog right before we became, or no, right after we got married. And we'd had like family therapists suggest you should get an animal. And I had had another lab. I've always had labs. And so I wasn't quite ready. But then I actually like to say that he found us, some friends in the neighborhood had to get rid of him, and he's just the most amazing dog. So he has by far been our therapy pet. I mean, he is just like, nobody can be in a bad mood around him, you know, because he's just so loving and, you know, you touch, you know, you connect with their fur and they're so relaxed and it just kind of brings everybody's stress level down. I'm a big fan of dogs, and I would have a cat. I've never been able to have a cat because there's always been allergies around, but I think cats can be cool too. So definitely think animals help us with that.
Yeah. My wife has always wanted a cat, but we can't have cats because I'm allergic. My older son is allergic, but yeah, I mean, our dog is great. I would say it's the best rash decision my wife ever made. She actually bought the dog when I think my youngest son was with her, but my older son was at camp and I was at work. And she sends me this picture and says, "Oh, here's our new dog." And I was like, "What?" But again, yeah, it ended up being just the best decision that she made, and a great addition to our family for sure. And then, you know, just some other things that he talks about, arranging seashells, walking barefoot, we talked about, getting a window box or a house plant, looking at the stars before going to bed. I think it's often something that we don't do is, you know, just look up and just enjoy the stars, and maybe it's light pollution or what have you, but I'm sure you've seen some great stars in your travels.
Oh yeah. In fact, in Utah, they were pretty spectacular. And, I'm trying to think if I've we were going to go to Ireland or to Iceland. We saw some pretty great stars in Ireland too, I have to say, a year or so ago. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of the treats of getting away from the cities. And yeah, because I think light pollution, it just makes it, it's not impossible, but it's a little more challenging.
Yeah, for sure. And what else? He talked get a pet. We talked about that, and getting an essential oil diffuser. So again, going into the sense of smell. So we're getting towards the end of our discussion. If anyone has any sort of additional questions or comments, I see one other comment that I'll raise, which is this person says, "My favorite way to connect with nature is through water, swimming, snorkeling, scuba. Even just walking or sitting near water. I wonder if it's because I'm a Cancer, a water sign."
Of course it is. Yes. I mean, so my husband, I'm a Scorpio. He's a Cancer. We've done scuba diving as well. I will definitely tell you that you probably have a lot of water element in your chart in addition to your Cancer sun. So yeah. And everybody's different. I have some people, I mean, it seems like there are some people who just don't like water. Like my mother's one of them. She has a swimming pool and she doesn't even like to go in it. But I know she doesn't have a lot of water in her chart. So it's a thing. It's your energy, you know?
Fascinating. All right. Well, Laurel, I wonder for folks who want to reach out to you in terms of, you know, learning more about, you know, maybe your coaching practice or the other things that you do, what's really the best way for folks to reach out to you?
They can, my email is Laurel, at laurelosullivancoaching.com. That's probably the best way. I have a business page on Facebook, The Woman's Coach. I post there quite frequently about what's going on. And I also have a private Facebook group about unleashing your power using astrology. And you can find that all through my business page as well. But email, if you're interested in learning more about what I do, I'm always responsive to email.
Excellent. All right. So let's talk just briefly about what we're doing next week. Next week we'll be back on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central. We're going to be taking time to breathe, and our guest is going to be Jeffrey Bunn, who is a retired litigation attorney, also a Chicagolander. He's founder of the Chicago-based meditation group, Mindful Law Coaching and Consulting. Jeff is a great friend of mine and a wonderful meditation teacher, and he'll be taking us through that, and hopefully we can get him to take us through some meditation principles and some practices as well. So really looking forward to that. So Laurel, I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on the show again. I mean, it's been a long time coming, but I will say I was so – when I saw that this chapter came up, and I kind of thought, you know, who would be the right person for this? Knowing your background, knowing your travels, I knew it would be great to reconnect with you. So I so appreciate that you said yes, and thank you so much for having this great discussion with all of our all of the folks watching.
It's been great. And if I can add one note, as I was sitting here thinking about the last time that we like saw each other and worked together, it was, so this is kind of cool astrologically, it was the same time, because it was almost that 16, 17 years ago, the North Node was in Gemini and the South Node is in Sagittarius. And that's exactly, we've come full cycle. So it's actually been almost 18 years. So that's kind of cool, because the North Node in Gemini is about communication and sort of like everyday communication, and it's about finding the truth through facts. So it's a very kind of like lawyer thing. So and it's all about media. So here we are kind of on social media doing this. So it's I think it's really cool.
Wow. Well, let's promise each other not to make it another 16 years before we get together.
That is a promise. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, thanks, Laurel. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening and watching. We'll be back again next week, Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central for the Lawyers Emotional Intelligence Book Club. And just remember, emotional intelligence skills are necessary for all lawyers, and we can learn these skills together. Have a great night, and we'll see you next week. Thanks again, Laurel. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you weren't able to join the live version of the program, that's okay, because there's plenty of ways to join the discussion. You can leave me a voicemail by going to anchor.fm/attorneyDSY and hitting that message button. You can leave me a comment for me to play on the show or a question for me to answer. You can also leave me a comment or question on social media. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at attorneyDSY. I'm also on LinkedIn, so let me know if you have any comments about this episode. Tell me what you think about this podcast or give me a topic you'd like to hear about. This podcast is on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, TuneIn, and Anchor, so please be sure to subscribe and rate and review. I also want to invite you to the next session of the Lawyer's Emotional Intelligence Book Club, continuing on with Dr. Chatterjee's book, The Stress Solution. The next session will be Wednesday, July 15th at 7 p.m. Central. You can find out more at facebook.com/lawyersEQ. Have a great day or night, and remember to fight for the lifestyle that you want and become the rainmaker that you need to be.